welcome Joshi 2010s, 63 episodes, and we're talking JWP. This is the Red Leaf of Retrocast Patreon. We're on the journey to finish this decade, the decade out of the Dark Ages. And here we go. The Arisa Nakajima road continues, and she has sparked this promotion quite a lot since her return in 2012. And it's not because the promotion totally needed her, but in terms of getting behind someone and you actually see a path forward for a young talent, there's definitely a palpable kind of interest in the promotion on, admittedly, a small scale in the Joshi scene. This show takes place on September 9th, 2012. And if we go look at our sheet that you can get for free over on the Patreon, it's right on the front page there. It's a screenshot, essentially, of all the shows or specialty matches that I have laid out. I pretty much do it annually in the sense of the year we cover, I lay out which shows or matches are of interest. And then as I go through the year and kind of get a feel for what's going on, I'll either scrap the show, or watch like just a main event. For 2012, I've generally pretty much stuck to the list. There will be one I am for sure skipping, and that is the next episode, which is the Oz Academy Time After Time show. I have it listed as a house show build to get the feel for that. But as we've seen with Oz Academy this year, it's not really worth going into once you kind of just know the gist of the story going on. So there's no sense in kind of spending that money, spending that time to review essentially just a house show, and you get it. But in terms of what's important is what JWP has done on this show. This Pure Wars series of house shows events culminating kind of at the end of this show, the 20th anniversary at the Cinema Club. And whether it's JPQ being a guest on here or whomever, we've talked about the Cinema Club as a unique, kind of cool little venue that you can get, you know, anywhere from 175 to 250 people in this thing. Good little house show crowd for a nice little tiny indie that JWP has become. And then they can run bigger shows, hopefully somewhere else. But in terms of this show, they got the full 250 in there. Yeah, you can cram probably up to 300 and whatnot, but for the sake of this, this is essentially one of their biggest shows that they've done at the Cinema Club all year, in the last couple of years, actually. Just as an example, they ran their Tag League final back in April that we covered, and that culminated with the vacant tag titles being decided, where Toshimatsu and Ranyuyu got the one last chance at it. With the good main event against Hanako Nakamura and Misaki Iwata, that only got 185, okay? So I was curious, was Arisa Nakajima such a big attraction to this? Was it perhaps the Manami Toyota singles match against a JWP veteran at this point with Tsubasa Kurigaki? And upon further research, it's actually because the Cinema Club is closing down, and they have a contract with one other little indie promotion doing a television show taping in 2013. But at the end of this year, the Cinema Club will be no more. JWP will have to find a new home to run a lot of their little house shows, local shows, if you will. And that's kind of sad. I really enjoyed the uniqueness to this venue with the banners of the wrestlers hanging from the upper decks there, very much like a theater play. And, you know, it's kind of cool seeing the fans up above the ring and leaning over. And I'm definitely going to miss that after covering so much of JWP on this very podcast and journey. But so I attribute kind of this 250 number, maybe, you know, an extra 75 people got in there realizing that they're probably advertising the show as kind of the last time to see JWP in the Cinema Club. And if we just kind of go through the very last of it. There's only going to be a one. There's going to be one more house show in October at the Cinema Club here. That is going to be headlined by a Captain's Fall six-man tag with Emi Sakura. Well, okay, we'll get to that match. Okay, let's see. October. Were we covering that one? Let's see. Hakata 20th anniversary. I don't think so. Because this one's on October 7th, I'm talking about. And no, we're doing the October 21st show. So, yes, I will cover what happens on this Captain's Fall match. Because I actually did find it and watch it and quite enjoyed it, actually. So a little bonus action there. 2:30 for the Cinema Club on that show. So it goes to show you that, you know, when a venue's closing and it means a lot to fans, they go out for the one last time. And then the very last one is going to be the December 2nd show, still the Pure Wars series, as they've dubbed these house shows. That only gets 192. That's another Captain's Fall 8-man tag. So this is kind of their house show circuit they're doing. Tsubasa Kurigaki defeats Ran Yuyu as Ran Yuyu retires at the end of this year. So Tsubasa Kurigaki, really in a lot of singles matches for this promotion, along with the wanted 14 tag team of Abe and Kazuki, just facing a slew of different random opponents. But as I will talk about at the end of the show, there's an angle that's going to carry this promotion for a few months at least, and what they're going to do. So I'll leave this. I will leave this October 7th show, because that'll actually give us a nice little preview for what's going to happen on the October 21st show that we'll cover. And just so I don't forget, I'm going to pull the card for that show up, as that show takes place in Fukuoka, Japan. It's one of their highest attended shows of the year, with 430 people. So, you know, it would be interesting for me to do my annual Joshi stats for a lot of these promotions and kind of have them ranked at the year end and see what they do. And that's based on my, and for those that may only listen to these episodes, that's based on my attendance of importance criteria of anything above 300 people gets noted and marked as a show that actually drew something in terms of the Joshi scene. And to make a discernible difference in how hot or cold they are is how many times they get over that number consistently, et cetera, et cetera. You kind of get the idea there behind it. So I think I might do that. That'll be a nice little work project on the side when I have some free time. So the last of the Cinema Club is upon us. And what is this show about? Well, we last left off with JWP at Pure Slam 2012. And just to even remind myself a little bit of what happened, that was the Kagetsu main event, Korakuen Hall 873, against Kayako Hariyama, who's really become a strong backbone of this promotion. And she has been for a while. I could speculate over kind of maybe the possible staleness to her, but, you know, upon watching this kind of play out in real time, Kayako Hariyama is absolutely the better decision over Tsubasa Kurigaki. I do like the decision of putting the title on her. The bigger question in that episode was why Kagetsu and why not someone like Misaki Iwata, Arisa Nakajima, Bolshoi, Sachi Abe, like someone from JWP to actually headline that Korakuen Hall. And that kind of made me really question the merit of why they're getting 873. But is there a reason in the scene to highlight the younger wrestlers as opposed to just going back to, I don't know, putting Manami Toyota in that position? Yeah, there's a conversation to be had, and kind of spoke about it in that episode. Go back and listen to that one. It was only a couple ago. And then also on that very show, which is relevant to this one, was Arisa Nakajima and Bolshoi winning the JWP tag titles from Emi Sakura and Kaori Oniyama. Little did we know that was going to be important and coming to play on this show. Okay. Anything else for going on from the scene? Wave had their 5th anniversary show. That was the previous episode covered on this journey. Still nothing out of Stardom. They're kind of slow going out of the gate. It is a brand new promotion. A lot hinders on kind of the health of Yuzuki Aikawa, surprisingly enough. they don't want to overexpose the roster in such a short amount of time. But that'll be a conversation when we do get to Stardom when they run their first 5-star Grand Prix. We will be covering that one. Okay, Pure Wars, 20th anniversary, September 9th, 2012, Cinema Club, 250 people. We start with the debut. Well, the debut was at the Korakuen, but I digress. The debut of Raiden, Hagane in a singles match against Minami Katsu, whom, you know, she's got her new gear. She's got some a little bit of confidence to her, and she's against this Raiden Hagane. And if you're listening to the Patreon episodes monthly over Pure J, joined by JPQ himself from PWI, Raiden has essentially a basketball outfit on of sorts. There's no discernible uniqueness to her at all. She kind of looks like a geek, guys. And this geek tries to wrestle for 7 minutes against Minami Katsu. And boy, it's certainly a match in which wrestlers were trying to do that. Raiden loses. Look, opener, rookie, getting the reps in. No reason to go further into that. You get the idea. Raiden is, let's just say she's not showing much talent quite yet. Not showing much potential at this point in time. Okay. The next match. And this was shocking. Not because of two of the wrestlers involved, but it was because of two other wrestlers involved, particularly one of them. And guys, I am not kidding you. This is a 3 out of 3 recommendation match. A 4-star type affair. It's Kaori Onoyama and Emi Sakura. Genie gear and everything. Defeating the Hanako Nakamori and I, again, shit you not, Mari team in 13 minutes. Look, so much of this match, for the first like 3/4 of it, was anytime Emi Sakura got in the ring, she would try, she would be on the defensive. She couldn't get any offense in. Hanako Nakamori and Mari were mauling her. And the only time Emi Sakura got any sort of offense in was when she was chopping on the defensive. And she would tag Kaori Onoyama in. Onoyama would run wild, tag Emi Sakura in, and then immediately the tables are turned. The story was phenomenally told, even from that subtle sense. Maybe if you watch it, you wouldn't notice it, but boy, I did it, and it made it super unique and interesting. I wish kind of more matches were like this without being on the verge of comedy, because that's what usually happens, where it's just so obvious and they make a big deal about it, like a person's scared or they're trying, you know. You don't need to do it that way. You can just have two people just be better than a wrestler on that given day, and then as the match finally goes into its final stages, the team of Sakura and Onoyama finally clicked. And Sakura started getting her offense in, and the near fall sequences at the end were great. And I'm going to give so much credit to Mari and Nakamori really gelling together as a team as well. And when you're in there with top level workers in the scene at the time, 2009 Wrestler of the Year Emi Sakura, Onoyama, who she's lost certainly a lot of star power, but she's gained it back. She's gained the fans back more and more doing stuff like this. Because of her not retirement at the end of last year. So Sakura and Onoyama do end up winning this match. It's a full 3 match. I kid you not, goes in the book, goes on the sheet, and highly recommend it. I can't say it's like a match of the year candidate, but it's certainly solid and worth your time. It's kind of a must watch of the year from Joshi, and it's second from the bottom on a show like this. In the mid-card of this five-match show, it is Haley Hatred, Kayoko Horiyama, Rabbit Mew defeating a makeshift wanted team of Kazuki Sachiyabi and Nana Kawasa, whom, oh boy, Kawasa is just, she's no good. But Haley Hatred back in this promotion is nice to see. She's bigger, she's stronger, she's got a little bit of swagger to her. She brings a uniqueness to this. It's a 15.5-minute match. Yeah, it goes pretty long. This was okay too. There's nothing terribly wrong with this one. I believe I went 1 out of 3 on it, so I certainly enjoyed it. I certainly didn't feel like I wasted my time watching it, and it just brings me more curiosity over why Sachiyabi isn't in more prominent roles in this promotion. I guess she just doesn't want to do it. That's my running theory. But man, when she went in there in Kayoko Horiyama and they're having their little exchanges, I'm just going, man, I want a singles match like that so bad. I would love to see Sachiyabi in a big singles match in this promotion, but she never is. Horiyama is certainly a top three. Let's see. Let me go to my my match guide here for 2012 Wrestler of the Year. Where is Kayoko Horiyama currently in the scheme of things? Yeah, she's fourth on the year right now. She's tied for third with Ran Yu Yu underneath Misaki Iwata, and then Ayumi Karihara still kind of running away with this thing. And it's unfortunate Yumatsu retired so early because she's still in the five spot. Kind of tells you who's being focused on in the scene this year, who's in bigger matches, who's actually performing, and who has an actual like catalog of matches. I'm looking at my list here, and there's only two people with double-digit match guide matches, and that's Ohada and Kurihara. A lot of sevens and eights and sixes going around. But Kayoko Horiyama is right up there for JWP. Leon Nakamori kind of pulling in the back end there. But I would like to see Haley Hatred get some regular gear to make her look more. I really liked her. I preferred her in the pants over the skirt that she's wearing, just because I'd like to see her. It makes her use her size, or at least gives you the illusion that she's that much bigger than everybody, which, you know, standing next to Rabbit Mew, she's a giant. But anyway, just change the look up, make you, she looks like a punk rock girl, and I'm sure she is in real life. She gives me that vibe. But you could be a punk rock badass in the wrestling ring. Anyways, I'm getting off way topic there. Match did go a little long, but that's okay. Manami Toyota against Tsubasa Kurigaki went almost the same amount of time, but it felt like it went on for 2 years. This match did not work, and believe it or not, this was, I can't count the Manami Katsu rookie match as like a match of the night kind of deal, as in making it any sort of rating. It's just, it's a rookie match. So that means this Manami Toyota Kurigaki match was the worst of the night. It was really boring. Something was off chemistry wise. Everything they did, the crowd just could not get into it. I can't say it's sad to watch, because it wasn't like bad and they weren't botching moves. It was just a lot of sequence of moves and events that just didn't work to the crowd, and it didn't work for me either, because I was witnessing it and I'm going, this match just isn't good. Like, whatever they're doing just isn't working. You couldn't get into the match, couldn't get into the feel of it. Whenever someone would kick out, you're just like, oh, it's still going. It was one of those. You just kind of rolled your eyes going, yeah, of course they kicked out. You got to hit your Queen Bee Bomb, which Manami Toyota hits this late in the match, and it does not look good. And so she has to kind of do it again, and then that puts away Kurigaki. For a while there, I just thought Kurigaki was going to win, get a big win over Manami Toyota, and they even had a little post-match here where they're talking about, you know, possibly wrestling in the future on a different show. And what they're actually doing is they were talking about their visit to Chikara that's happening. and they're going to be in this like tournament deal, and we'll see what happens in America. They were not plugging some sort of storyline between the two where they're going to meet again, and then they're going to tell a story where Kurigaki is going to get her big win over the wily vet Manami Toyota at this point. So it's just a singles match in which the old guard wins. I hate calling Manami Toyota that because she does put people over, but in this sense, it was just a big match in a show. Manami Toyota comes in and beats her former champion. No. Maybe not the best look. Maybe it doesn't matter. It just kind of... It happens way too often, is kind of what I'm going at. And there's nothing in sight, nothing in the future for Kurigaki to get a win over Manami Toyota. Let's see if they ever wrestle again. Let me just loosely look at the cage match here to reveal what happens. Let's see. I'll put Toyota in. And let's see here. Okay, it's going to be a long time before Kurigaki gets an actual win over Manami Toyota, and it's, we're in 2012? Oh, man. Not sure how many of us are going to remember this, but give it 3 more years. Not in JWP, by the way. That will occur. So, man, 3 more years and Manami Toyota just further broken down. Will it mean as much in 2015? I guess we'll have to see it play out for ourselves. Not a good match. Do not recommend. Basically, it's an avoid unless you need help sleeping tonight. And that gets us to the main event. The tag champions defending against Leon and Rey. We're going to call them Team Lucha. Here, it's Nakajima and Bolshoi. So, 3 of the 4 people in this match have masks on. Bolshoi is more of a grounded wrestler, but she's capable of doing a lot of that. Lucha Libre and her and Leon, just, of course, they have good chemistry. And then Rey's in there with, how do I describe her style? Like a Chinese martial arts style to her and look, which is really cool, very unique to her. That's why she's very exciting to watch, and she's just a kind of another one on the list. I can't say she had as big as an obvious main event presence as Ayumi Kurihara, but she certainly could have been, but it was just certainly a never was situation, never had the chance. But matches like this is like, man, I'm glad we actually got to see her at the time that we did. 17 minutes, and Arisa Nakajima, she's really developing kind of her knee striking. Her forearms are looking better. She's really getting into a groove here, and it's matches like this that help. Where the match kind of falters, and why I only went 2 out of 3 recommendation on this, is because, it's a lot of Lucha Libre, a lot of attempts, and a lot of falling. They fell a lot in this match. Running the ropes 2 out of 3 times. They're tripping. They're slipping. And every once in a while, they'd finally hit it, and you're just like, okay, they got that one. Like, something even as simple as Leon doing her kind of springboard crossbody to the outside. She'll go, and then she lost her balance. She'll go, lost her balance again, and then on the third tries the charm kind of situation. Ray's doing cartwheels. Maybe her knee kind of buckles out a little bit. You know, maybe they didn't drink enough water before the match here in September of 2012. Maybe it was a little hot during that time. But I was really impressed with the match nonetheless. Had a lot of fun. It's a very strong tag match. 2 out of 3. And Nakajima Bolshoi retain. No complaints out of me, just it would have been... This had match of the year contender potential, but all the botches, it's just... It can't quite get there. So, in the post-match, Nakajima and Bolshoi are kind of celebrating. Leon and Rey are in the ring, kind of lurking in the background. And then in comes Emi Sakura and Kairi Oniyama. You're like, okay, they lost the tag titles on the previous show that we covered, They won a great tag match earlier on the show. I'm like, okay, they're out here to challenge for the tag titles. Ah, but there's a catch. You got to kind of get in line. Yes, they did just beat them, so does that warrant an automatic rematch of sorts at their biggest show of the year? At the Climax 2012 at the end of the year, or maybe the final Ran Yu Yu special in Saitama? Well, the Ran Yu Yu Saitama special is an Ice Ribbon Dojo show, so you're not doing anything quite there, but there's going to be some elements that they'll bring. So clearly, they're gonna have to build something to get to Korakuen Hall, and what will that entail exactly? Will it entail Yoneyama or Sakura going for the main title? Maybe they'll be in individual matches. Well, maybe they'll be in tag matches, but they've already established, you know, they already lost the tag title match. Get in line. So Emi Sakura reveals a Gato Move Purple Lotus t-shirt along with Kaori Yoneyama, and they have faction members to introduce, meaning they have usurped talent from JWP to join their faction called Gato Move. Obviously, we know it's a new quote-unquote promotion that goes down with the Emi Sakura exodus of Ice Ribbon, along with numerous other talents leaving at various points due to their contracts being up. And the two new members revealed, ripping their shirts off like it's the NWO without the crazy beatdown and spray paint, is Mari and Hanako Nakamori, the very two people they beat earlier in the night. So Kaoyoko Horiyama gets in that ring and calls bullshit. What are you doing, Emi Sakura? I can't believe you're doing this bullshit. And I could not believe my eyes. It was the funniest shit. And watching some, like, throne usurpation of Gato Move against JWP. Okay? So they have a big long promo, and Horiyama essentially challenges both Emi Sakura and Yoneyama to singles matches for defending her title at various points. So it's going to be, first up is going to be on the Fukuoka show, which is what we're covering next, is Kaori Yoneyama against Horiyama for the title. So then, of course, if we can decipher if we assume Horiyama successfully defends this thing, well then, Emi Sakura is next in line. That's how the story is going to play out. But that also means that, presumably, Nakamori and Mari, with their great tag showing, are gunning for the tag titles, and you got fresh opponents. Kind of a weird way to go about it, considering they were facing each other earlier in the night, and the people going for the tag titles lost, but the people going for the singles titles got the big way, you know. It's definitely unique. I can't say I hate it, actually. You got a small roster, small. You got to work with kind of what you got here. That's why I'm a little bit more lenient on it. But let me look to see how the when are the tag titles next defended here? Let me check this out. Okay. Go to Nakajima and Bolshoi. Okay, so they. Looks like I gotta watch this October 28th show as well, because that's when the tag titles are being defended. Is that on my list? Do I replace this? Yep, okay, I do have the October 28th show on the docket to be covered. So, the next, look, I thought this was great. This is great booking. It makes October shows must watch. with the tag titles being defended on the 28th, the singles title being defended on the 21st, and if she successfully defends, that's also going to be a show taking place at Shinjuku Face on the 28th. So the expectation, of course, is let's get over that 300 number both times. Let's do it. I'm going to base a lot of my critique over the attendances. Let's get over 300 and 500 people. Let's shoot for those two numbers, and then we'll work with it from there. I want to see over 1,000 at Korakuen situation. So we'll see what they get for attendances here. I like this. This is like one of the only like true angles we've seen in the Joshi scene in 2012, other than kind of mixture and match of things that happen in Stardom, but not much has happened in Oz Academy. Not much has happened in Wave. Everything's about Ranyu and Yumatsu's retirement. That's what they're basing their whole year off of, essentially. And then Ice Ribbon's having the Exodus, so that's kind of the state we're in. You know, for the show, I went kind of a 2 out of 3. I don't think it's one of their best shows of the year, but it's certainly interesting and well worth the investment of watching. I have no regrets over this. This is what I'd love to see more of the scene do. So yeah, get ready for Hariyama defending the strength of JWP along with Bolshoi and Arisa Nakajima. Bolshoi and Nakajima and Leon are kind of team, and Hariyama, team JWP against the invaders of Kato move. With the betrayers of Nakamori and Mari. That's it's kind of funny to me. I also weirdly like it. If Gato Move at this point in time doesn't have the reputation of being a meme promotion, they're coming off as Emi Sakura has a group that's coming for him. So good story, good angle. I'm into it. You get into it. Remember. Ah, silly me. I totally forgot to go over the October 7th show that I teased at the top of the podcast. One of the last Cinema Club shows that they do. In the main event is a Captain's Fall 6-man tag where it's HMK. That is what the Emi Sakura crew is calling each other. Not really sure what HMK stands for. Heart Move K Reform? Kai Reform? I don't know what that means. Anyways, Yonayama's the captain for this team, and they're up against Nakajima, Bolshoi, Hariyama, and Manami Katsu. So, we're missing someone there, but anyways. It's a 25-minute main event, and I did enjoy it. They go 17 minutes before the first elimination. That's Mari eliminates Bolshoi. So Bolshoi, the ever loving one, to never pull a "that doesn't work for me, brother" to her detriment. Sakura then pins Manami Katsu a few minutes later. And then lastly, Yonayama eliminates Hariyama to build up their singles match. So there you go. A very cool main event. More building. Just, you know, earlier on the show, semi-main, Leon, Ranyu team up against Haley Hatred and Kurigaki, 18 and a half minutes. That was fine, and then don't even worry about the other two matches. But a four-match card with two big semi-main and main events to take up time. Good enough for me. Good little house show there. And look, the fact that they almost sold out the club again with a 230 number means that this had worked and sparked at least a little interest in maintaining the audience that went to the show. The next episode is going to be Ice Ribbon 417, Knights of Ice Ribbon 2012. That is the episode about Mio Shirai in Ice Ribbon, Cork and Hall show. So very important there, covering that next. Don't forget, if you are on the AJW Destiny podcast feed, listen to this, consider subscribing up with the Patreon, patreon.com/redleafretrocast. Get on at least the minimum tier to get these episodes early and support the venture of going through this journey and doing these episodes. And those of you who have already subscribed, consider upgrading. Get those LLPW, Pure J. At this point in time, doing the 5-star Grand Prix reviews. Every single show is up on the Patreon. So thank you all for listening. Till next time.